Thank you, Debbie, and thank you, friends. It's good to be with you this morning. I was so excited when Brother Steve called and said, would you be available to preach for me? And I told him, absolutely. Now, the only problem that we've got working is that Daniel is so efficient that he needs my sermon title on Monday. And I said, that just ruins everything. That takes away the X factor such that if on Sunday morning I'm feeling I want to go in a different direction, I can't do that. But before I gave him my sermon title and text, I ran it by Brother Steve. And I told him, I said, I want to preach on giving. And immediately he said this, they are going to blame this on me. I said, I know. But I said, it's better to have somebody else taking those arrows and those shots than you. So this is all my idea, I promise that. Your pastor is such a dear friend, and it's amazing to me, having been out at the association for 16 years, and it's always a great joy to get to come and to be with you. At First Baptist in Pflugerville, I just want to let you know that we are official residents of Pflugerville now. Absolutely, yes. When Bethany graduated from high school and we knew that she was going to go on to Baylor, we were thinking about downsizing and all of this. And so we live essentially where 130 and 45 come together. So we're a little bit on the north side of town, but it is good to be in Pflugerville. Since we last met, Thompson and Hope got married, and they are doing well. And of course, they've got it down. You know, they've been married now for 3 months, and they know everything about being married, I'm sure, that there is to know. So nobody give them the heads up on what they don't know there. Bethany is at Baylor, and we are trying to look appropriately sad as empty nesters, but we are really having a tough time. I mean, coming home and saying, you know what, let's go out and eat, and nobody else cares, and we love that. It's good. But I knew that we were in trouble yesterday when Julie said that it's time for us to get another dog. So yesterday you kind of call it pre-buy a dog. The little gal is born, but she's about the size of a hamster right now. And in about a month, we get her to come to our house to join the other two dogs that we already have. So yeah, the empty nest is, you know, kind of interesting kind of thing related to that. But when Steve said that he would be gone, I said, let me talk about a passage that's been, and a story that's been challenging me. You know, I kind of feel like where we are in the season of our own life is kind of the time when we first got married. We moved to Georgia. I became a youth minister there. We had two cars. We sold one. We were paying off college debt. We were trying to get started in our married life, and now I'm paying two college debts again. And this whole budget and giving stuff is a really big deal. And I realize that probably one of the toughest sermons for you to hear is a sermon about giving. I mean, it's scary. I mean, when your own pastor of 25 or so years says, hey, I'm taking it on the chin on this one, you know it's tough. But I want to tell you it's okay, and I want to challenge us with this story. It comes from 1 Kings chapter 17, and if you have your Bible and you'll turn there with me, I want to read you the passage of this story. The story is pretty extraordinary. There's a need that God has, and he comes to this lady who's a widow. And, you know, we think bad enough that, you know, the poor widow lady, I mean, couldn't he go on to somebody else? But the amazing thing is she is not a God follower. God has a need to be met, and he uses somebody that's not even of his family to meet that need. And one of the takeaways for me in my study and my reflection upon this passage of Scripture is God's going to supply the needs that he has, that we have. In fact, we have that great verse of Scripture, but my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And you know what? God can use whoever and however he wants. And I guess what I want to come with as kind of a thought for you this, I don't want to miss a blessing or an opportunity when God challenges me to give or to do that I'm not stepping up to the plate in that. I'm so thankful that my wife's a giver, and I probably won't share this in the second service, so you get a bonus bucks for coming to the first one because it would embarrass my wife. But before Thompson was getting married, she decided that it was important that we, which is code for me, start working out so that I would look better for the wedding, down to my wedding weight. That was the code word there. Well, one day she went to work out without me. I guess she had given up on me. It wasn't going to happen. And while she was there, she meets a lady that's in really tough times, and she just felt compelled to give her some money. And this wasn't just open your purse kind of money. She had to go to the bank and use her debit card. And I'm telling you, I tried to put on my best preacher's face and say, oh, that's awesome. That's incredible. I'm glad you did that. And there was a part of me that wanted to say, how much did we, do in that deal? Because, I mean, we got a wedding coming up. We got two kids in college and all this kind of thing. And I'm thankful for a wife who is sensitive to God's leadership and all that. But folks, giving is all throughout Scripture. I mean, you don't get 14 chapters into the book of Genesis and you're hearing about Abraham giving a tithe to this fella by the name of Melchizedek. And then at the end of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, you hear about that. And when you begin to think about God building his temple and his tabernacle, when the tabernacle was built, God asked his people for money. When the temple was built, God asked the people for money. And then when the temple was rebuilt, God asked the people for money. It's the giving that we have an opportunity to give back to God what is his. So let me see if I can share with you a story and see if I can get you kind of drawn into this a little bit. So here's the scenario. You leave church today and you go to McDonald's with your kids or your grandkids. And you're up at the counter and you're ordering all of the meals and all the stuff that you want. And then you take your meal back to those lovely dining accommodations there at McDonald's, and you sit down and you start passing out all the food. And you find out that you are one pack of fries short. This is serious stuff. So you look over to Junior and you say, could I have one of your fries? What does Junior say? Hey, get your hands off. Those are my fries. Now, if you're like me, here's what you begin. The blood starts going up in your neck, and you start saying, listen, buddy, let me tell you what. It was my money that bought those fries, and it was my money that paid the gas, to pay the car, to drive here for you to eat, and you know what? Those are my fries. They're not your fries. There's a brother who knows my pain. All the fries we have are God's fries. All the fries that we have are God's fries. And occasionally, God is requesting of us some of those fries. And my question is, are we like those kids who say, no, 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 these are my fries. Everything that we have is of God. Everything that we have comes from him. And folks, we are simply stewards of that. And when we realize that, what a blessing that would be. And that's why this story is so impacting to me. So what I've entitled this, or what I want to talk to you about, is the progression of giving. Progression of giving. And all of them start with the letter of O. Now, all of you that know me know that I'm not that smart, so I've got to have stolen this from somewhere or borrowed it from somebody else. So there's if you want to make six O's down the side of your outline page there. Now, don't dry smiley faces and don't get distracted. Just stay with me, and we'll fill in all of the blanks along the way. But first of all, let me begin by reading the story for you. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning in verse 8. Now, listen to the key words. We're going to come back at it verse by verse. Then the word of the Lord came to him, meaning Elijah. Elijah has just told Ahab, man, it isn't going to rain for 3.5 years. There's going to be a drought. And the cool thing about this story is God tells him, as soon as he makes that proclamation, you need to go out by a brook and the ravens are going to feed you. Remember the story? And God's got to know that if it's not going to rain for 3.5 years, that little brook is going to dry up. And this is where God's going, okay, now here's where I want you to move. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives. Some of you questioned the fact that this lady is not a God follower. This is not her God. Hey, Elijah, the Lord your God, as the Lord your God lives. Now, she had great respect for God, but she had not, chosen to identify him as her God. As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that I might eat it and die. Wow. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, if we were to stop right here, God, just the power of your word and the conviction of your Holy Spirit would be sufficient to leave us with an opportunity to think about and evaluate our own heart toward giving. But God, I pray that as we begin to break down this passage of Scripture, that even further and with great clarity, God, you would speak to us. Speak to me, Lord. This is the perfect time for me to be giving beyond what I think I can handle. Because God, when I give beyond what I think I can handle, I'm in a position where I'm trusting in you. And Father, maybe that's where all of us need to be. God, what about our life requires trust in you? God, we got paychecks, we got savings accounts, we got retirement accounts, we got life insurance, we got all this kind of stuff. But God, how many of us, if we were down to our last meal and we're gonna die, said, God, even if you ask for that, I will give it. So Lord, guide us and direct us as we look at this progression of giving. In your name I pray, amen. The first O, her opportunity, her opportunity. Verse number 8 and 9, the word of the Lord came to him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. Now there is no way for us to break down all the components of this, but how does God talk to an unbeliever? How does that work? How is she even listening to this God that she doesn't have a relationship with? But whatever the case is, God gets through to her and she responds. Now, one of the things that I tell you regularly when I come is the importance of reading the Bible through in a year. Because if you read the Bible through in a year, it's these kinds of stories that kind of pop up. But it wasn't until about the last time that I was reading through that my brain kind of clicked in after a gazillionth time of reading the Bible through that this lady is referenced in Luke chapter 4. If you're fast enough, turn there, but if not, I'll read it for you. Luke chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. This lady gets press in the Old Testament. She gets press in the New Testament, but it's interesting. Didn't give her name. And I love that because I think at the heart of the giver is, I'm not worried about whether I get credit as long as God gets the glory. Luke chapter 4, 25 and 26. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel. Hear me. There were many Israelite women, widows, a lot of God-following older women. When the heavens were shut up 3.5 years and a great famine came over the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them but to Zarephath in the land of Sidon to a woman who was a widow. Giving is an opportunity, not an obligation. It is an opportunity, not an obligation. Now, you can give out of legalism, or you can give out of liberty. Now let's test this theory. On the 18th of this month, you and I have the great privilege of writing a check to the United States Treasury. This sermon is so in my life right now because Friday I got the benefit of hearing how much money I get to give to the Internal Revenue Service. Now, how many of you, and you can even stand up if you're gonna, how many of you are going to hum a tune? Hallelujah, I get to write a check to the United States Treasury. Anybody? Nobody. Why? I mean, it does good things and great things come from your taxes, but you're obliged. You're obliged to do that. It's not an opportunity. So like I told you, we're on a pretty strict budget. We got newlyweds, we got 2 kids in college, we just bought a new house. And yesterday, my baby love says, you know what? There's a lady out in Taylor who has some puppies. We should go and look at these puppies. Now, I'm telling you, man, I don't know about your life, but if my wife looks at the puppies, she's buying the puppies. In fact, it was so funny. So we get to the house, and as we're driving there, and you know, Taylor's a little bit, you know, it doesn't have as many gas stations, and evidently she needs to stop and use the restroom. She told me like five times. I said, I get it. You got to go to the restroom. Let's go to these people's house that we don't know, and first thing out of the box, can I use your restroom? She walks in the house. She sees the puppies. The lady lays all five of them on her. And for the next 45 minutes, she's just loving the dogs. I'm going, what happened to the bathroom break that you needed here? But I knew. And I mean, you know, you guys are going to think I'm pretty smart, but I knew I was buying a dog before I left there. I gave that lady half the money for this dog. I hope it lives until it gets weaned and it becomes my own personal dog. But now I have three dogs. Anticipation of the oldest dog, who's about 115 years of age, going on to Jesus. And so he and I are going to have a conversation today to say, brother, go ahead. Next month would be a fine time for you to go ahead and see Jesus, because I got your replacement. It's coming in. But when you give to your family and to your kids, is it not true? There is a joy, and it's not an obligation. It's an opportunity. What's interesting to me about the story is the unlikely person that God uses. I mean, she's a widow, she's a foreigner, and she's not a God follower. And you know what? This story has been replicated in my own life. You know, before I came to the association, I was pastoring out in Dripping Springs. And there was a fellow out in Dripping Springs who came to me and he said, you know what, I'm not going to be a real regular attender of your church. And he had a pretty good reason. I know that's going to drive you all nuts knowing that. That's all I can say about that. But he said, I'm going to tithe to the church. I said, wow, this is really a good deal. You're not going to come, no problem for me, but you're going to tithe. I like that. But he said, periodically, I'm also going to make some offerings to the church. He said, sometimes I do some deals, and he said, just at closing, I'll be at closing, and I'll just have him send a check to the church. Well, now, occasionally, he will do that to the ABA. And he and I are friends, and he'll call me and say, hey, you got any projects? Is there anything that I can give to? And I mean, I love his heart. And so not the truck that I'm currently driving, but the truck before, the ABA figured out that it was much more cost-effective for them to provide for me a vehicle than for me to get reimbursed for mileage, because I drive all the time. And so he said, I'm at closing, and he said, I remember that you told me that you needed a truck. He said, what I want to do is, he said, I want to buy that truck for you, and so I just need to figure out where you want to write the check to. And he said, do you care what kind of truck? And I said, no, I really, it's fine. And he said, no, really, do you have any stipulations? And it was kind of fun. I said, well, this, if you're asking, I mean, you know, a crew cab and this and, you know, all this kind of thing. And here's what he said. He said, I'm here at closing. Oh, by the way, you're on speaker. And this guy that I just made a gazillion dollars for, he's going to pay for half of it. And you could tell, even through the phone, that this guy was a little shocked that he had just been committed to half of a pickup truck. And he was not a Christ follower. And that was pretty evident by the verbiage that he used in response to this contribution that he was about to make. But that's the way that my friend is. And folks, I want to tell you, God gives us opportunity to give. Now, the amazing thing is the opportunity that he gives us is based on what we have, not on what we don't have. I mean, God didn't expect this woman to produce a filet mignon for this guy, what she had. God doesn't ask you and I to be accountable for millions and millions and millions of dollars unless we got millions and millions of dollars. He holds us accountable for what we have. But the second O in this progression is her obligation. And real quickly, let me explain to you what I'm talking about here, because this might stretch you just a tad, so let me tell you. In the Middle East, you did not refuse a traveler a cup of water. In the story of the woman of Samaria, Jesus comes and says, hey, will you give me a cup of water? You remember in Genesis chapter 24, Abraham's looking for a wife for his son, and his servant finds Rebekah, and he wants her to water the camels. He knew that he was going to get a cup of water because, I mean, that's just what you do, but he wanted to see if she was kind of above and beyond the kind of call of duty. And what I want to submit to you was God's offer to her or the opportunity they presented to her comes only after she had met her obligation. Now, this is where I'm going to get your toes kind of black and blue just a little bit. I have a lot of people that get really whacked out about the fact that I think that God asks us to give a tithe. But I also believe that there's an offering on top of the tithe. You know, we often, God bless these tithes and offerings, and I think this lady has given an offering way above beyond whatever tithe. And we don't know whether she tithed or not, but it's interesting. It says, verse number 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came into the gate of the city, behold, a widow there was gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And I think that was the code for him to know that she was the woman. Gathering sticks, she's responsive to his request, and she has met her obligation. And some of the times I tell people, I said, if you feel God is leading you and calling you to be a giver in a particular way, my first question is, are you fulfilling your obligation, your opportunity before the church and your tithe there? Malachi 3 and verse 10 talks to us about bringing that whole tithe into the church. And man, I tell you, I am so thankful that my wife joins me in telling our kids, hey, listen, Thompson, when you get that first paycheck, 10% goes to God. Bethany, when you go babysit, 10% goes to God. If you mow, 10% goes to God. And we can train our kids and we can train our family in all of that. But thirdly, the thing that you see, the third O there is her openness. Now, sometimes people get, you know, a little, I mean, they think differently about this, but she was very open with God about what she could do. Verse 12, and she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour and a little jar and a little oil in a jug, and now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that I might eat it and die. She tells God how it is. And you know, it's okay if you tell God that. It's okay if you say, Lord, I sense that you're asking me to give something, but I want to remind you of something that you already know. The things are a little skinny at our house. Things are a little skinny in my budget. And the Lord is big enough and good enough. She's honest in her evaluation about her financial situation, her household. And then verse number 13, Elisha says this to her, don't fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something of yourself or your son. The key to stewardship, folks, is that little word first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things and all these things will be added unto you. And one of the things that I don't want to be, and I know you don't want to be, is I don't want you and I to practice what I would call residual giving. Giving God the best of what we've got left over. We give him leftover money. Hey, if I got anything left at the end of the month, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. It's yours. We give him leftover time. Hey, Lord, if I get some extra time, you know I'm busy. Lord, I'm going to give you my leftover talent. Folks, I think we give God first. We give God first. Her opportunity, the opportunity comes after her obligation. She's open with the Lord, and here's God's offer. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Now, what would your have reaction been? Just for a moment, just think about that. And what I want to tell you is, so often when I've read this story, I've thought to myself, wow, that would be so neat if God promised that he was going to take care of me if I did that. Hello, we already have Philippians 4:13. 4:19, excuse me. I just want to make sure you guys are awake. 4:19. But my God shall supply, thank you very much, all your need, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, all your need. So whether it's flour, whether it's gas, whether it's rent, whether God's going to supply my need according to his riches in glory. That's God's offer. And then her obedience, that next O. Verse number 15, as she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate many days. See, the widow took God and Elijah at their word, and she obeyed after the promise was given. See, often the promises of God are dependent upon our obedience. And I began to think back, Abraham had to leave his homeland before he could get into the promised land. Moses had to stretch out his rod before the Red Sea would part. Joshua and his army had to march around Jericho 7 times before the wall fell down. And the widow had to use up the last bit of her flour and oil before before God provided more. And the question that I ask myself in reflection as I read this, can I live on the 90% plus whatever offering that God would ask of me? And God, are you faithful to take care of me in that 90%, whatever, along with whatever offering that you have asked of me? But the final O is her overflow. Verse 16, the jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word that the Lord had spoken to Elijah. The Lord is never slack on his promise. Now, let me throw one other thing that comes to mind for me. I'm just being real with you. There are times when you give, and you give pretty sacrificially, and there's this thought, man, thank you, Lord. It's going to come around. It's going to come back. It's going to be good, and we're really looking kind of for the windfall. And I want to discourage us, but at the same time, I want to encourage us when we give to give with open arms, to give to God, and we don't ever know what's coming back from it. Julie has never, ever seen that lady at the 24-hour fitness again. We don't know if she used the money for good things, for bad things. We're just responsible for what God done. And so often when we read the story of the widow, we just kind of stop there. And there's a sense within who we are that we think, well, she did a really good thing. Man, she ought to get at least 3 or 4 get-out-of-jail-free passes on the next time anything bad comes around. Now, don't smile, but we think that way. I think that way sometimes. But if you look down at verses 17 through 24, and we often don't preach about this because, man, that just kind of blows up the story. You know what happens? She's done all this. Fed Elijah her last meal. Her son dies. What? That's not supposed to happen. This lady gave everything. I mean, she's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Her son dies. Now, the amazing thing about this story is Elijah comes in, raises the kid back to life. But I think God's just showing this lady over and over again his goodness. And our giving to God is not about what we can get out of it ultimately. Our giving to God is just because of all that God has given to us. Our giving to God is just a response to say, God, this is, you are awesome and you are incredible, and thank you for the opportunity to give to you. I have no idea what the end of the story is for that lady. I hope and pray over the course of her life that she comes to faith in God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob, because of all the people that God could have used. And I think about this story. I'm kind of a weird kind of a Bible reading kind of guy. I mean, if I had a prophet and I needed to feed for him, you know what I'd do? I'd send him to Texas where a guy's got a big cattle ranch and a big spread. So, man, this guy's not pinched about taking care of this Elijah guy. God says, that's not the way that I work. I want to work for this little widow and allow her to be used of me for great things. And so here's my challenge for you and for me today. With everything that with everything that God has given me, I want to approach God with an open hand. And it's probably not going to be oil and flour for me. But God, supply my need according to your riches, and God, allow me to be a blessing to others by willingly giving as you lead me and as you guide me. Ultimately, God, for your glory. Father, I thank you this morning for the lesson on giving. And God, I know for myself, especially at this season, I'm kind of in this mode, God, of kind of get this college stuff behind me.